There are times when Jesus, his teachings on the human heart are so profound that they're not easily understood. And so particular Jesus' teachings, they do require careful consideration and reflection. Jesus doesn't, as you probably already know, Jesus doesn't tend to teach or speak in with casual references or with mere platitudes or even on trivial matters. So when Jesus teaches about the human heart, his message carries such depth and complexity because they're matters of eternal life. They're matters of our soul. Jesus, he invites the whole world to delve into the mysteries of how the heart is bound by the decaying enticements of the world, and that the world's greatest instrument of enslavement is not violence and it's not power, but riches. If the world is captured by its treasures, as are, unfortunately, sad to say, so many in the gathered church, and if few escape and are liberated from the enslavement of the allure of wealth, don't be surprised if Jesus' words are both challenging to understand and profound in their implications, for it is in the understanding of what Jesus says and obeying what he says that we are freed. A sobering question that I thought that came to my mind and as I self-examined and examined the church in general, as I went to read and study Matthew 6, was could the church's reluctance to thoroughly engage the teaching of Jesus, like, and I mean thoroughly engage. Do you know there were times when people would preach for hours and they loved it? There were times when, even in the apostles, there was a guy called Eutychus, hearing the apostle preach for so long, bored out of his wits, fell out of a window, died. And the Bible records it like, that's cool. Now it's snippets. 45 getting long. 50, an hour, unheard of. Can that be this reluctance to fully get God's word and trying to understand it? And we're not all theologians, so it might take me 4 hours, but it might take someone here 15 minutes to get it. But my reluctance to spend 4 hours just trying to work out what is Jesus saying? Can that reluctance to be careful with his word and to have deep reflection be the root cause of why so many Christians are struggling to experience increasing sanctification? Can that be a reason of why so many believers of Christ have blended in with the world that there is now no distinction among us? So I'm calling you today. This is a complex passage, but I'm inviting you to pause from whatever you're thinking. Difficult to do, because I think of several things at once as well. But pause and reflect on the profound teaching of Jesus and make his words real in your life. And try and understand what he's saying. Oh, I do hope that you will grow in your sanctification and you won't go through years of a plateau of never growing. The only way to grow is to grab this and eat it. Feast on it. Study it, but a willingness inside to want to know, what are you saying? Teach me, Spirit. Look at God's word, please, with me. Matthew 6, verses 19. Listen to what Jesus says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Allow me the Spirit to help us today. Father, I pray that as your children, you would look after us. And Spirit, in Jesus, in your name, I ask that you'll give a word. That your Spirit will give us more of you. Help us to understand treasure, the relationship of treasure with the heart, with the eye, with masters on this world. Spirit, please be at work in us as we delve into the words of Jesus. Bless these people, my Lord. They are wanting to know you more and more. Can there be a greater endeavor in this world? I ask it, Lord, in your name. Amen. In today's world, where our daily lives are, as you know, are published daily on social media, it's all too easy to become what I would say entangled like a web in the coveting of other people's lives. I'm guilty of it. The social media world, the carefully curated images and stories of those who just bought something or have gone somewhere or have been promoted or may have made such and such money. And it's easy to get caught up in that cycle of competition, of striving and accumulating, of gaining more and more, to not only will then want to ourselves share it on social media, but the ongoing accumulation of material possessions and experiences in an effort to gain what everyone else is striving for, and that is treasures on the earth. But you know, it's a trap. And I believe the Bible so much because I can testify to what it says even throughout my own life, that it's a trap, and it also makes us feel trapped. Like we're bound in this rat race of life, always competing with our neighbors. The keeping up with the Joneses, we give it an adage. Accumulating material goods, temporal riches. Always seeking entertainment, fun and happiness, peacefulness, we're looking for it. But then only to be constantly reminded that these moments are fleeting. Momentarily satisfying, they're temporary, they're transient. They just don't last. You can agree with me. Nothing lasts long anymore. Everything is built with a five-year shelf life. We had a dishwasher the other day break down 2 years. 2 years, 3 months, just 3 months after the warranty. It's the way of the world. Nothing lasts forever. If you find yourself caught in the relentless cycle of striving, of constantly reaching out, trying to gain and obtain, yet always needing to renew the endeavor of laying up more treasure, perhaps it's because you think that you're... Now listen now and think about it. Today's going to be a thinking one. Perhaps it's because you think that you're in control or you're losing control. Maybe you believe you are mastering money to serve you, to serve your goals. But your life still feels sometimes claustrophobic or captive, caged, like you're running on the same spot and you're stressed and worried and anxious. What if the reality is the opposite of what you believe? What if, without realizing it, you are serving money, and money is your master? Listen to what Jesus said about the treasures and the lives of all men and women. He now, the Word of God, Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You see there in our English translations of our Bibles here, the word money, you might have a little note sitting next to it. I've got a number, little six. You look at it, see what it says. It says mammon. Jesus used that actual word. It's a Hebraic term. It's used to refer to one's the totality of one's possessions, whether much or little. And the reason Jesus used the word mammon was to give a name to earthly treasures, to personalize material gain, like it were a master. I wish they just kept it there. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is giving a profound insight here. Money is like a master. Money is master mammon who imposes its demands upon us. It tempts us. You know what it does? It tempts us to divide God's exclusive claim upon our lives. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't serve both God and money because one of them is going to take from what you should be giving to God. And you all know what God wants. He wants all of you. But Jesus is telling us something real radical here that I wonder if you ever see it like this. Jesus reveals the dilemma of actual living. He says, no one can serve two masters. And Jesus isn't talking here about serving like employment, as though we can choose who to work for or choose who we can work for us. Jesus is talking about the original context of enslavement. Jesus says, you can't be a slave of two masters. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot be enslaved to God and mammon, says Jesus. Oh, do you hear what Jesus is saying? There's some insight for us. Jesus is saying we're all slaves. All of us. We're all serving something. We're all enslaved to someone. And Jesus reduces our allegiance down to just two masters. He's so on point with our lives. He says, there's basically only two masters you can serve, but you can't serve both. Jesus says, either God is your master or money is your master. This is radical in thought because it takes serious contemplation because we hear Jesus teaching and we hear Jesus teaching this and we hear something like this. We hear that verse, but we hear it like this. Stop using money to gain material or temporal wealth. However, Jesus is saying, you think you're using money to store up treasure in this world, but you're missing the state of your heart, the state of your life. You aren't the master of anything. I know you think you are mastering money, but Jesus says you're either a servant of God or money. You aren't using money. Money is using you. In fact, if God is not your master, if you are not a slave of God, then money is your master and you're serving it. You are a slave of mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Amazing, because it's a hard truth, isn't it? It's a hard truth for us, and it needs careful consideration, deep reflection. You need to do it right now. And you need to ask this question with me. Am I really a slave? Am I a slave? Who is my master? You may say to yourself, God is my master and I use money to achieve my goals. It's not what Jesus teaches. And it's not that we cannot serve two masters as though that would be impossible. Jesus is aiming to attack the belief that all it means to come to God is to throw in some religion within our lives. He's fighting that. He like a cocktail of life. We're looking at God like a cocktail of life. We throw in some God to mix it in with my world. We may serve God and then moonlight with money. God is our spouse, but we also have a lover. And that is the life of the believer. No, that's not what it is. Hear what Jesus teaches? No one can serve two masters. He says, because the demands will be conflicting. Jesus says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Trying to serve two masters, Jesus says, you know what he says? It divides your allegiance. And this is the confrontation that we must all have in our heart before it's too late. You need to talk to yourselves, talk to your heart, talk to your soul, find out. This is what I mean by contemplate. Study this deeply. Jesus is teaching you. We must all have this confrontation in our heart before it's too late, before the Savior, the Lord Jesus, returns in judgment, before he calls us to stand in front of his throne. Are you a slave of God? Well, are you a slave of God? Or you are a slave of mammon? You cannot serve God and money. I argue with Jesus about this quite often. I wonder if you're arguing with him now. It's not that black or white, Jesus. I can be a slave to you, to God, but I can also use money as a blessing from you. I am a slave to God, but I use money to look after my family, to put food on the table, a roof over our heads. But Jesus won't allow us to negotiate with his options. It's either this or that, God or money. There's no in between. Beloved, who do you serve? Who do you serve? Who is your master? The point Jesus makes, you can't serve two masters, can be thought of like this. You can't serve two masters because you can't do it well. Because the demands, as I said, they're not compatible. You see, one seeks riches, wealth, honor, glory, treasure on the earth, while the other has the glories and treasures in heaven. We can get more defensive, I do, because of all these conversations I have in my mind. And this time when I challenge the Lord Jesus, I get more theological. I can say to Jesus, I serve God, but I use money for God's purposes. And that's how Jesus began, by the way. You start thinking like that, he begins with a warning that we can then test our allegiance, you see. It's by working out where we lay our treasure, we shall also find out if we serve God. And we shall also find that's where our hearts will be. Hear the profundity of the teaching of Jesus as he began in verse 19. He says, do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's about treasure, where to lay it. And then he says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you see? This is how we test who we serve. Where is your heart? You see? The answer, without being cute, in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where is my treasure? Again, simple. The place I value the most. The place in which I set all my efforts to arrive, to get to. The place, think about it, on this earth, where all your efforts and all your monies and everything that you do, as you're going to that place, that is where your heart is. You see what Jesus is saying? There's a lot of us that go, I'm going to go to Argentina and I'm going to save all my money and I'm going to put everything together. I'm going to buy a building there and I'm going to go. And the whole life revolves around that. And I'm laying my treasure on earth. And I'm serving God and telling him, I'm just using money. Now, Jesus is saying, you're laying your treasure on earth. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think that's what it is, isn't it? And that sometimes we live this life, there are some people out there, and you know them, everything they do, they just cannot wait for the return of Jesus. They got money, tithing. I earned $100 today. What's that? 10%. Is it $10? Might give a bit more. I buy some pamphlets. They bring pamphlets. They bring this. They bring some leaflets. They spend their own money. You know why? Because they're investing their own money, everything they've got, their time, their energy for the building of the kingdom. Cannot wait because you know what? You know where the treasure is? You guessed it. It's in heaven. And they live like that. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Are you saying to yourself, oh, Jesus, I serve you, but I use money for your purposes? Use the passage that Jesus is bringing to our minds. You see, the place where I make the greatest effort to enjoy my life's work is where I will set down my treasures so I may enjoy them when I get there. You see, wherever I will eventuate, I'm going to put all my money into it. This needs careful consideration. Whatever we strive for in this world, in whatever we invest our time, energy, and our resources, where we lay our treasure, where we store our treasure, where we pour our hearts and souls into something, and where we hope to reap the rewards of our efforts, where we reap the return of our investments, there is where our heart will be. What we value is what we love. You see, the drama with all this is that we as humans, we chase after what we value. Where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. We hear it sometimes nowadays like this: where your home is, or your home is where your heart is. Our home, our peace, will always be the place for where we have the deepest sense of affinity and affection. No matter where we are, we always seek to go home, to be there. That's our treasure. And so Jesus is confronting our allegiance. His eyes are staring at our hearts. He's penetrating into our soul. He says, examine your heart, Wally. The way that I'm supposed to examine my heart with this passage is by asking myself, what do I spend my money on? What did I do yesterday? Think about it. What did I spend 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours doing yesterday? It says, that's where your heart is. What did I spend my pay packet, whatever it was? What did you spend your money on? That's where your heart is. You see, it's not here. He's trying to say, how are you living? That's how you know who is your master. What you laid your eyes upon. What did you see yesterday? What did you see? What did you seek out? What did you want to see? That you maneuvered life until you eventually sat down and saw it. What did you open? What did you click? What did you do? That is what you spent time doing, your energy, you paid to do it. There is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, can you see the teachings of Jesus are so radical because they're so countercultural. Because you know what the world is trying to do us? Well, like I said, the world doesn't entrap us or enslave us with violence necessarily, with violence and power, but they do it by the allure of wealth, of riches. You know, the aim of the game is to become as wealthy as we can and have the least amount of worries about life that we can. We're trying to be comfortable, to invest for our retirement, lay our treasures on earth so we can enjoy our later years. And Jesus says, that's foolishness. That's ridiculous. And you know why? Do you know why? Let's do a mental experiment here. Do you know what the average years of retirement are? Does anyone know? The average years, 17 years. 17 years is how much we average in our retirement years. And the retirement age for anyone that is in my vintage, in the current workforce, is 67. Because I worked it out. So, because do you know what the average age expectancy of a man in Australia is to live? You know how many years? 84. So we get 84. For a woman, slightly more, 85. To spend your whole life accumulating treasure on earth to enjoy during your lifespan on earth and then retire to enjoy your life work for just 17 years is lunacy, says Jesus. And then die, leaving it behind, useless to you when you're dead. And then the kids, they steal, they inherit. It's madness, says Jesus. It's insane to live that life. It's a rat race, don't you see? It's a trap. The alternative lifestyle is to live investing, beloved, please listen, literally. I don't mean this spiritually, ooh, man, I lay my head, my treasures in heaven, I lay my hope and my joy. No, he's talking about literally investing your actual dollars, sacrificing your life, your energy, your body, serving the needy, looking for the poor, fellowshipping with one another, building the kingdom by somehow. Whatever you do, money and service. He says investing that won't. He says do stuff that when you do it, your investment return doesn't happen here on earth. But it happens up in heaven where you'll be paid out in your retirement. You know what the average life expectancy is for believers when they retire? I don't think there's any difference between a male and female here, but you know what the life expectancy for a believer is when they retire? You know what it is? It's infinity. Because believers go to heaven to retire. That's right. When believers go to heaven after they have spent 17 years in heaven, after we have spent 17 years in heaven, we're going to have an infinity of time to go for our retirement. Then when a believer spends 85 years in heaven, that's the earth life expectancy, you know how long they're going to have left to spend in their retirement in heaven? How long they're going to have? That's right, infinity. And when believers have been retired in heaven for infinity, you know how long they've got left to go for their retirement when they're in heaven after spending infinity in heaven? Infinity. You see, Jesus is going, you're mad. You're saving up all this stuff for what, 17 years of retirement? When you could be using your whole life for infinity, infinity, infinity. I'm an elder and I'm concerned for your infinite retirement. Have you considered your retirement in heaven? Are you investing so you are storing your treasures in heaven, is what Jesus is saying. This is also the concern and reason for Jesus' caution, verse 19. So he gives us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Can you hear the teaching of Jesus? Don't accumulate treasures here. Moth comes in and they're going to put holes in your favorite woolen jumper. You're going to have all these products, stainless steel, that even rusts. And when you have something, be careful. When you're not watching, thieves will break into your life and even steal your identity now. Let alone what you own in your home. Can you see what Jesus is saying? Everything you want to accumulate here on earth is going to end. It will rust, it will corrode. If you're a believer in God, and by faith you have come to Jesus Christ, you are a fool, if not crazy, if you have laid up your treasures on earth. You're insane. Because you should already know, whatever you work for in this life can be taken from you at any moment. It can rot, decay, break up, rust. It can be stolen, whereas the treasures in heaven are forever, infinity times infinity, eternal. Why would you spend your life, your money, buying, for me, stocks that have no assistance to the building of the kingdom? Oh, mate, I'll probably make about, I don't know, $10,000. Great, you can spend that for 17 years. But if you get the return and you talk to God about it and it comes back into the kingdom of God, the building of His church, the proclamation of the gospel with your investments, with your energy, with your strength, your stamina, your thoughts, your time, you're going to receive blessing from us now, from the Lord. But in heaven, oh, 60 times 100-fold will be the reward. What are you doing with your money? Do you serve God? You are definitely not using money. Because the way that you serve God, He brings money to you. You use it because you're serving God. The alternative is, here comes money, and I use it for this earth. Jesus is saying, don't do that. That's insane. You have eternity to wait for. Don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. It's going to last forever. You know what Jesus is doing, if you haven't even seen it already, you know what Jesus is doing? He's redirecting the perspective of the disciples and by extension you. Live for eternity. Don't wait for eternity. Live in it now. You're living for retirement. Jesus says, yeah, but you retire in heaven. Doesn't matter how much you have in your super. It's going to go. Live for eternity. If you live thinking about your retirement in heaven, you know what you're going to do? If you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to retire on earth. You know what I've told the elders before, some of you heard, you know how I want to die? My greatest joy would be to be preaching. I don't know, 55 years of age, and because I'm Latino and I get all worked up, I get so worked up, bang, heart attack. Oh, glory be to God. Go like that. But I don't want to grow old. Sorry. I just want to go, boom. Everyone goes, oh. Because my heart is there. This is, you know, the prelude. It's just taking a little longer. Some go up to 100 years of age. Poor people. I pity the Christian that lives to 100. How his soul must yearn to be with the Lord. And 100 years. I love the people that die 55, 60. Oh, so quick. They must be loving it with the Lord. What glory. If you're all not going, amen, because His treasures are there and He's in bliss, you haven't got it, you see. Do you serve God or mammon? You can't serve two masters. Jesus is trying to say, redirect your heart. Well, why don't we hear from Him? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's redirecting them. And then he ends, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other and will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. It's an interesting way of talking, isn't it? Because he begins by speaking about treasure, where to lay it up. He ends his thought by actually saying you can't serve two masters and about money. Money, treasure. And in the middle, we have this concept of the eyeball, a lamp, light, darkness. And we're trying to say, now begin, everybody. What are you saying? In the middle of the law, it says, the light is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What is Jesus getting? My Lord, what are you getting at? How do treasures in heaven and the heart, along with serving a master, relate with the eyes? Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. It acts to bring some to light our lives. Jesus is saying that our eyes expose our lives to the world. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is saying healthy, if your eye is sound, pure. If your eye is directed to being wholehearted, if it's not evil but healthy, Jesus says, then your whole body will be light. So the eye, if it's healthy, affects my body. If your eye is bad, Jesus says, if the eye opens up to evil, wickedness, impurity, sin, then your whole body will be full of darkness. Jesus transforms our understanding of perception. He's likening the eyes to lamps that fill light to our bodies. And depending on what we take in, Jesus says, depending on what we take in, our bodies can then be full of light or full of darkness. So the eye is the one controlling what is exposed to the body of our lives. What we see affects who we become. What we seek, what we desire, what we love, what our hearts treasure. Can you see what he's saying? He's saying that he's trying to show you that the eye is the window to the soul. That the eye is a gateway to your heart. You know, when we think about our eyes, we see them as primarily means of perceiving the world around us, that we use it to explore social media. You know, we see images, scenes, and moments every day. But I want you to consider a deeper perspective. Our eyes are more than just physical organs. They are the gateway to our very souls, which not just emitting light or images pass through. Because you know what else comes through our eyes? Values, beliefs, emotions. It's the gateway to our eyes, to our hearts. It's not only physical, but affects us spiritually. This is what I think Jesus is saying. What you're doing, you see, is you're living this life thinking that your body is completely separate to your spiritual body. And he's saying, you want light? That thing there. Two of them, when they're open, can either bring in light and they will affect your whole body, or bring in darkness and affect your whole body. What are you letting in through your eyes? Because as it affects your whole body, it affects your heart. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What we expose our heart is whether we love light or love darkness. You see, so it's now, okay, now we're getting somewhere. The eye then helps us to be exposed to things that we're either going to love or hate. Jesus intends to show that what enters through the eye, acting as the gateway to the heart, will influence what we consider to be treasure. So you see what happens? If you keep exposing yourself, and you do it, if you keep exposing your heart through the gateway of your eyes, through your eyeball, and you keep seeing it and seeing it, letting it in, letting it in, letting it in, eventually you're going to desire to watch it. You're going to more watch it. The more you see it, the more your heart craves it, the more you'll end up loving it. And what happens is that we love what we treasure, treasure what we love. You see, and the problem with that is that our hearts then are drawn to what we treasure. And where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's trying to say this. You're having problems with laying treasure in heaven? Are you opening your eyes to the things of heaven and closing your eyes to the things of darkness? Are you keep bringing it in so then you treasure it? And because you treasure it, you love it. And because you love it, you treasure it. No one can serve two masters. The heart is drawn to what it treasures. It's very profound. It needs careful consideration. Your heart may be exposed as one that serves mammon perhaps a little bit too much. And then Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. I want to help you now. How do I then love or make my treasures in heaven? You know what Jesus says? He says, expose yourselves to him. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Beloved, I'm asking you, you want to start opening your eyes to the word of God. If your eye is a lamp to your heart, a gateway to your soul, then the word of God is your lamp that guides you well. You see, because at the very beginning of time, it was the eye that Eve had that she saw things that would make her wise. And by seeing, both of them sinned. Resist unhealthy desire. Don't look at things of the world that you know you should hate. Don't entertain with your eyes. Don't open your eyes and say, it's just a little porn. Or it's just a little gossip. Or it's just the Kardashians with the riches. It's just the lifestyle of hip-hop. It's just the brawling that we constantly see of violence. Just a little. But you keep watching it. Keeps coming in. Keeps coming in. If it keeps coming in, it means you've made it your treasure. It means you love it. Set boundaries, beloved. Set boundaries with your eyes. If you want a verse I used as a teenager and growing up, Job 31:1. I wonder if any man here knows what it says. It says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a young woman. You see, are you serving God or serving the things of this earth? Set boundaries. Use the word of God. Watch what your eyes desire. Make a covenant with your eyes. If you need a passage to help you, a verse, there's Job. Because you know what? If you don't do that, let me just tell you what Jesus tells you to do. I wonder which advice you're going to take. Can I recite for you what Jesus tells you to do? Jesus says this. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members that your whole body be thrown into hell. Which one are you going to take? I think we take it all. He is so radical. If your eye is allowing darkness in, you're better off just ripping it out, throwing it out. He means just don't even go there. You see, what happens is that we sometimes look at the eyeball and we think that it's just an eyeball. But I'm going to tell you that the eyeballs and the eyes are the gateway to our hearts. But if the eyes are the gateway to your soul, your heart, the eyelids are the gates. Tell me now, you have no power to shut your eyelids. That's why Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves. There is an ability to do what Jesus says. Do not let darkness come in. God is our light. God is the one that removes darkness. God is also the one that has shed light so that we may see the only one that brings light. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that he was the light of the world. And that's who we pursue. That's who we look. Allow yourselves eyes for Jesus and him alone. I just hope that when I finish preaching here, and I've got this on my notes, you don't think I'm being spiritual, poetic. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Oh, I'm going to just really imagine it and think it. I'm just going to lay my thoughts in heaven. I'm just going to pray, and I'm just then go out in the world and do nothing. No, I mean literally. I'm saying to you, your money, use it. So the greatest return will not come here, but there. You tithe? Good. You don't? You should. Because do you serve God or mammon? Your time. I don't mean, oh, I'm going to really spend some good solid time in the Bible. I think that's great. But use the time you spent in the Bible and get out and help the needy, look for the poor, deliver the gospel. Who is our master? Do we serve God or mammon? Allow me to utter a prayer that we should all say. Yes, God, everything I do, my body is a living sacrifice. Everything I am, a holy, acceptable to you. My life is worship. My treasure on this earth is rubbish unless it's from you and with you. My treasure is where my heart is. You are my treasure in heaven, and my heart is there and will be there forever. Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Spirit, please energize us to know that the greatest return on our life, our investment, is treasures in heaven. Where you shall be, O Lord, and that you shall be bestowing upon us the rightful reward that you decide. Do not let us to be intoxicated with the allure of the riches of this earth, but let us look to you, that we may serve you, God, and not money, that we may be enslaved to you and to you alone. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.